Tonight's recap of Fear the Walking Dead is sponsored by TrueCar. In order to feel comfortable getting a fair price, you need pricing context, information that empowers you to feel confident. And with TrueCar, you'll see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local certified TrueCar dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar is going to show you what other people in your area paid for the car that you want. And you'll know what a fair price is so you can feel confident. And once you register, you'll see real pricing on the actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing so you can enjoy that quick and easy car buying experience. Best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Fear the Walking Dead. This land is your land is over, but we're just getting started here on the Fear the Walking Dead post-show recap. And now, here are the two people who make decisions only based on fear and not Fear the Walking Dead. I am Rob Sister, and here's Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you?
I'm okay, Rob. I just have to go and open all of the windows in my apartment because I'm feeling a little stifled here.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That after this episode, I can't breathe.
Yeah, no kidding. It's just like everything feels stuffy and you know, my heart's pounding in my ears and
Yes. Jess, first, let's give it up for the new breakout character of Fear the Walking Dead. Let's give it up to Christine. We barely got to know you.
I was so excited. She seemed interesting. I'm like, oh, somebody who actually has a cool backstory. And
she was at Woodstock. She drank wine in Central Park. Her husband was at 9/11. She met a first responder, and now she, too, is gone.
R.I.P. Christine.
R.I.P. Christine. She had a good run. She was best friends with Alicia and somehow, like, talked Alicia into basically making a run for it. Now, is this Alicia's last episode of the series? This is something that I really am trying to wrap my head around, Jess, and I don't have a straight answer, but it felt like that this was a goodbye to Alicia tonight.
It felt like she was pulling a Carol, and I don't think it ever really felt like, okay, well, Carol's actually tried to do what Alicia did about six times on Walking Dead Prime, and it really never feels like she's fully done with it, and I really don't feel like this is closing the book on Alicia for good either.
Because, of course, Alicia Clark, played by Alicia Debnam Carey, a very accomplished actress, and obviously she's very good in everything she does, as she was here in this episode tonight. But, I mean, this was really a turn out of nowhere that she's just going to go do her own thing. I don't get the sense that the show is going to be following her, whereas Carol going off and doing her own thing, I think felt like, you know, it was part of that character's journey and part of the plot. To me, this feels like that maybe she wants to go, the actress, like, wants to go do other stuff. And maybe at some point down the road, we'll find her again. We'll get back to her. But something feels off with this.
Maybe it's more that she's pulling a Morgan. Like, she's going to disappear and we're supposed to have forgotten about her. And then she'll roll up at some random point in time in the future. I don't really know. But I'm not buying that this is just kind of her swan song. I also don't think it made a terrible amount of sense for the character. But we can talk about that as well.
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, we're here. I mean, that Alicia did not seem to have any conflict with her mom. It was just sort of like after this conversation, after this near-death experience, she's like, you know, I think I need to go off on my own into the world for a bit. Why? Where do you have to go? There's nothing else out there. Oh, Jake told me about a spot. Okay, but you only have two people in the entire world that you know. Why are you going off on your own?
Yeah, and how are you ever going to find them again? It's like, not like you're going to, you know, slide into their DMs after you're done being mad at them and ready to meet up.
She's talking about this like it's a gap year of, you know, I really feel like I need to take a year off in between now and when I go to college. I feel like I really haven't explored myself. I mean, no, this is the apocalypse. You only have a mom and a brother. There's nobody else that you even know. It's not like Jake is out there and you're going to go look for him. Why would she feel like it's in her best interest to go off and be on her own?
It's completely inexplicable. The only thing I can think of is if she feels partially responsible for the deaths of all those people in the bunker. And she just kind of doesn't want to cause any more deaths. But then again, that's me like putting the Carol motivations on her. And she's not the same character
at all.
It's
not her fault. I mean, she did the best she could. Everybody looked to her as the leader. I mean, she got them in the pantry and they probably lived like another 2 hours than they would have if they would have just been on their own with the zombie horde coming through. So she did the best she could. I don't get the sense that she feels guilty. I just felt like that she seemed like she graduated.
That's a really messed up graduation ceremony.
Yeah. I was there. I took some lives. And now I need to go out and discover myself.
Yeah, I guess today she is a woman.
Today she's a woman. At least when Nick went off and had his own thing, then it was like, you don't understand me, Mom. You don't get me. I want to be with the zombies, okay? This is just like, you know, Mom, like with all due respect, like I think I need to go out there and be on my own in the world for a little bit. I know I have no way to ever contact you again, but I'll see you when I see you.
Yeah, are they making plans to have a reunion in 10 years? Like, we'll all come back to this burned out shell of a ranch in 10 years and see where we are.
I mean, even it's like, okay, well, just come with me to the dam. Let's find some walkie-talkie before you go. Let's find some way to communicate. Or let's rendezvous in a week and see how you're doing. I mean, when she drives away to go do her own thing, there is no indication that we will ever have these characters. If the show wants them to get back together, if Alicia Denham Carey wants to stay on the show, then they will be reunited. But just in the practical sense, it seems so bizarre that she's just going to go off into the world on her own with, I guess, some supplies, but that's it.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, if they're going to temporarily write someone off the show and leave it open for them to come back, I guess it's better than like everybody thinking they're dead. And
right,
like giving them the Daniel treatment, for instance, which is equally inexplicable.
But right. Do you agree that this is a wrap on Alicia's character for season 3?
I think maybe we don't see her for the rest of the season, but I think she comes back fairly early in season 4.
I guess we'll see. Maybe she had like some sort of a commitment. Like maybe she was like shooting a movie where they just needed to write her out of the show for a little bit. Like I know that in Star Trek: The Next Generation, there was a week where Patrick Stewart was hosting SNL and they just wrote that, okay, well, Captain Picard needs to go on a conference this week. So he's just off the Enterprise and we're not following his storyline.
Yeah, I mean, she is in that new movie. I don't remember what it's called. It is some sort of horror movie about social media.
Yeah, maybe she had like a shooting conflict and not talking about what was going on in the pantry. Because I watched the first like 15 minutes of Fear the Talking Dead tonight, and they were not talking about her like she was leaving the series. They were just talking about that she knew that this was an episode that was coming up and she had a lot of screen time. So maybe we'll find out some more like in an interview with the showrunners or something, some of this inside baseball about what's actually going on with Alicia. But it seems like this is going to be a wrap on Alicia for a while.
Yeah, I think maybe at least a couple of episodes and then we'll get her like goat episode and then she'll get to come back and join the main cast mm-hmm. when she's good and ready.
Were you surprised that Madison let Alicia go that quickly without a fight?
I'm not really surprised by anything Madison does anymore.
Really? I mean, because Madison, that we've seen her that, you know, anything I got to do to protect my family. And Elise have Alicia, and she's like, okay, well, I guess I'll see you when I see you.
Well, what did she learn from letting Nick go? It's kind of like if you...
If you love something and then you let it go, if it comes back to you, it'll last forever.
But if you try to keep everybody close to you, and I think she may have learned this pre-zombies as well, when she had a son who was an addict. It's like you can't really control your children after a certain point. You have to really kind of let them figure it out for themselves. After a certain point, there's not a lot you can do for them.
So I guess that we have to just assume that these Clark children are like wild horses. You cannot tame them.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're free spirits.
They're too free spirited. That's the part of the problem. And so they're going to go off on their own. Jess, can you explain to me how was Alicia Clark the only person seemingly out of 100, 150 people in the pantry who all died of carbon monoxide poisoning? Why was Alicia Clark the only person who was able to survive?
Well, that was the question I had for you.
Oh.
But I think not everybody in there... I mean, they didn't really show a lot of it, but not everybody in there died of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yes. Why? Other people died of, like, being bitten by the walkers? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Because, you know, you die of carbon monoxide poisoning, you get back up, you're hungry. It's like, oh, that person's passed out. They look delicious. I'm going to eat them. So I think a good chunk of those people probably got et.
Was Alicia the only survivor from the pantry?
It looks like it. I mean, if you want to count Ophelia and Crazy Dog as survivors from the pantry.
No, no. They were not in the pantry, though.
They were in the ventilation system adjacent to the pantry.
Yeah. So, I mean, that really is remarkable that only one person happened to survive. I mean, talk about going down with the ship. That is not what Alicia's leadership skills gave her in this scenario.
Yeah. It is kind of refreshing, though, that she was allowed to screw up on a grand scale, because I think...
What did she screw up?
I guess she didn't really screw anything up, but I think a lesser show would have said they would have let her amazing leadership skills save the entire bunker.
Oh, no, everybody is dead.
Yeah, she didn't screw up, but she did not save the people with her sudden flash of strong leadership.
Basically, Fear the Walking Dead tonight washed their hands of every red shirt on the board. So only people that we knew their names, only the principal characters, like the 150, you know, red shirts, all of Walker's people, all of the people from the ranch, everybody's gone. I mean, the only people that exist now still from this storyline of season three are now Troy Otto, Walker, and Crazy Dog. I mean, is there anybody else that I'm missing?
I think that's pretty much everybody. This is very much, and I hate to keep going back to this well, but this is, last week I said this was exactly what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were going to be hitting the reset button, and at the very last minute, the cavalry was going to come in and save the principals. And then we were going to leave the ranch behind for good. That is exactly what I said was going to happen, and that is exactly what happened.
Yeah, season three giveth, season three taketh away, with the exception of the dam. And I guess with only two nights left of the show, we could see all the dam people go out as well.
Damn.
That's right. I mean, we've completely now taken the ranch off the board of the location. You know, that was sort of like Madison came in. It was the second episode of this season. And she's like, we're taking over this place. I want to live here. And we went through Jeremiah Otto and everything going on with like the Indian burial ground and everything that's happening there. And now that's completely off the board. And yet still, Troy Otto is in tow.
Well, I did enjoy at the very end Madison saying, okay, Nick, you can go after your sister, but you have to take Troy with you. And that was entirely motivated by Madison not wanting to go on a long car trip with Troy.
I have to say, though, that Alicia took the Jake Otto news pretty well.
Well, she's in shock still, I think. She hasn't really processed it. And also, she only really knew that guy for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but a couple of weeks in the apocalypse, I mean, she knew him as long as, like, Ophelia knows Walker.
That's true, but Ophelia and Walker are still alive.
Yes.
And they, you know, she honestly seemed a lot more upset about Christine than she did about Jake.
So I guess let's talk through the events in the pantry. So it's Alicia who is the first person to realize, okay, well, if we kill a bunch of people, if we kill everybody in here who's been bit, then the carbon dioxide will fill up the room slower. And so she was put into the position where she was going to start putting people down. Did you agree with her decision to give people morphine and some sort of like triage tranquilizer and then stab people?
How many people are we talking about here? Is that really going to make a huge dent?
I don't know.
It looked like maybe 10 people at most.
Yeah. But she was going to go through with it. I felt like that maybe choking people would have been a better way to go than stabbing people. But I guess that the issue was going to be that they were going to turn if you didn't stab them in the head.
Exactly. Like, you really are limited in the ways that you can kill someone and make sure that they're all the way dead.
Alicia was the person that was going to be tasked with that. They didn't have enough bullets to do it, but yet somehow later on they did. She found a gun that did have a lot of bullets, but I don't really know what the issue was with the ammo.
Yeah, I thought they had a whole ton of ammo because they were trying to trade it away.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that is, if they ended up wasting it during the zombie horde attack, but that was something that we don't need to wrap our head around too much. And so they really did make morphine sound pretty good in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I hear good things. I have no firsthand experience, but I know that that's what they give people that are on their way out, like in hospice care. So
yeah,
I guess if you're going to go, that's a good way to go.
Yeah. This was a night where they did conjure up, I was going to say current events, but not necessarily current. They talked about 9/11 here for a little bit, and we found out that Christine's husband was in one of the towers at 9/11, and she kept calling his cell phone because that meant that there was still hope. Keep hope alive, because if you kept just calling the phone, there was a chance. It was like Schrodinger's phone.
Well, sure.
Gonna answer
also
it.
I hear people do this a lot, like they'll call the voicemail and that's their voice is there, and it does kind of keep a little spark there, like their voice is still out there. How can they not be out there?
Yeah. And she, Christine, we found out she met a first responder from 9/11, and then she ended up getting together with this first responder who took her to the Otto Ranch.
Yeah, I was trying to chart that trajectory. I'm glad that Alicia was there to ask the right questions, because I was thinking, yeah, New Yorkers tend not to move out to survivalist bunkers, but...
Yeah, well, this first responder, he felt like that 9/11 was the beginning of the end. And Alicia says, well, he was kind of right, but no, that's not how Christine looked at it. She feels like that she wishes that she got busy living and not got busy dying.
She didn't get to see Zihuatanejo.
No, she did not. She didn't get to. But she did have quite a life. We found out that Christine burned her bra at Woodstock. I mean, that's a little on the nose, but good for Christine.
I guess. It seems like she had a pretty exciting life up to the point where she met this crazy guy.
And yeah, kind of moved into like a cult ranch after at one point, right?
Yeah, it seemed like. And she didn't seem terribly bothered that everyone there was a giant racist. I don't know.
Was everybody there a racist?
Okay, just Jeremiah, I guess.
I mean, in like the Jeremiah's inner circle was probably pretty racist.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know necessarily if everybody there was. I don't know if that's like, we didn't find out if that was like part of like they had like some sort of like purity test to go and be in the ranch.
Yeah, there was just like.
I don't want to paint with a broad brush, Jess.
I guess that's a good point. All you saw was Jeremiah rejecting Ophelia and not inviting her onto the ranch. And it's like, oh, well, that guy's a giant racist, so we can be glad he's dead. We don't know how widespread that sentiment was.
Yeah, it seemed like that Jeremiah was sort of like, we saw the commercial and it was sort of like, you know, the Bible says the end times are near. But, you know, there wasn't any sort of like racial rhetoric in his sales pitch that he put out there.
No,
now,
I
maybe
guess
when
not.
You like sat down in a meeting with him is like, you know, looked both ways and then told you the real deal. But, you know, we don't have like there's nothing to show us that every single person there at the ranch, you know, thought ill of people that were unlike themselves.
I guess we don't really have any proof, but I mean,
Jake Otto seemed like he was, a pretty nice guy.
He was a critical thinker.
Yes.
He read a lot of books. I think he might have sat down and examined from time to time. Well, wait, why is everyone here on the ranch the same race as me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also got to find out that it's very important for Christine to find somebody who is funny. You need good sex. That's what Christine tells us. But the most important trait in a partner is that they have to be funny. To be fair, Jake Otto was not that funny.
Well, I think maybe this speaks to why Alicia didn't seem that upset when she found out he was dead.
Because he wasn't. Really, nobody is that funny in the Fear the Walking Dead universe. Who's the funniest person in Fear the Walking Dead? Strand?
Probably Strand.
Yes. And, you know, and to this point, you know, since the passing of Thomas Abigail, he's really without a significant other.
It's true. Like, I think Strand needs to find someone who can make him laugh again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe he'll find true love out there. Maybe the cosmonaut will land.
Oh, cosmonaut makes me sad.
Yeah. Ultimately, we're going to see Alicia then have pass out from carbon monoxide poisoning, or carbon dioxide poisoning, but not before she shares the parable of this land is your land. Jess, what was the significance in your mind of the this land is your land parable?
Well, she was about to sing this song about how everybody's going to share everything and live in this utopia together. And then when she got up there, she forgot the words. I think maybe what we're pointing at is she thought she was going to be in charge and lead these people in this great existence. And then she froze up at the final moment and Nick had to swoop in and save her.
So kind of like what happens in the episode here?
It's a stretch. Yeah. It's a big stretch. I think they were just looking to... I feel like the show relies on this a lot. We saw it in the last episode, in fact. I think you can't do this in back-to-back episodes. Tell this great story about a funny thing that happened in the time before and then have it, be a direct allegory to something that's about to happen. I think you get to do that twice per season, tops.
Yeah. I mean, you have a public domain song that you could do the montage at the end of the episode too. I guess we should have seen that coming. But to me, I thought that the whole this land is your land story was a little bit of a you had to be there story, because Christine didn't seem super amused either.
Yeah, I think maybe the carbon dioxide was getting to Alicia's head at that point, and she thought it was a much better story than it actually was.
Yeah, she's basically somebody at the party and she is feeling lightheaded, and it's a much more interesting story to her than it's playing in the room. But I guess that Nick is willing to, you know, publicly embarrass himself to bail his sister out.
It's true. Like, Nick has no sense of self-consciousness about anything.
He'll do it.
It's one of his greatest strengths. Yeah. Yes.
And then Alicia will then wake up and see a walker just snacking on somebody. And then she fights off one walker, you know, despite zero oxygen in the room. And then she ultimately ends up going into the gun storage locker, which did not seem to be available earlier in the episode. And then not since Travis Manawa was thrown into the walker pit have we seen one person go hand-to-hand, mano-a-mano with so many walkers.
Yeah, Alicia totally went ham on those guys.
Yeah, which I think speaks to that maybe this was a send-off, because if you recall, the episode before Travis Manawa ended up getting his send-off, he did fight off, 27 walkers in hand-to-hand combat in the walker pit.
Yeah, but I think we also have to note that this is a much smaller core cast than many other ensemble shows out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we already lost one of our core guys this season. Are we really going to lose two?
Yeah. Well, I wonder that how many of them, ultimately were not wanted back by the show, and how many of them are saying that, I want to go off and do my own thing, like the literal version of what Alicia is saying.
So you're saying Alicia, the actress, also
wanted to go off and do her own thing. Yeah. That, I mean, I can't imagine the show wants to get rid of her. I mean, she's like one of the core people that's on the show. I mean, I feel like that the story is about Madison and her family. Unless the story is only going to be about Madison and Nick.
I don't think it is, which is, again, why I don't think she's going to be gone that long. I think she's going to try it, and it's really not going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But do you feel like that the actress, do you feel like that Alicia Denham Carey wants to be on Fear of the Walking Dead from week to week? Or do you feel like that she wants to go off and explore other opportunities?
Well, I think she is really starting to take off as an actress. I think she's got no shortage of offers.
Right.
But I think she may take a temporary step back, but I do not think she's being written off the show for good to go and be Danielle from Lost of this show.
I feel like that this to me feels like a trial separation, and let's see how much money that social media horror movie makes at the box office. And if it's a blockbuster, I think that this may well be the end of Alicia.
Could be. I do not think that movie's going to make a ton of money at the box office.
I don't know. October horror movie. You never know. Sometimes these things come out of nowhere.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the runaway hit. You could never tell what's going to be. But it only has 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. So.
Okay. That means nothing. That means nothing in terms of what these kids want to go see at the movie theater. Kids want to go see scary movies in October.
I guess. They've got many other options, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about then Ophelia and Crazy Dog, and they go into the ventilation shaft. Jess, do you get tired of the people crawling through the ventilation shaft trope in TV and film, or do you love it?
Dude, I was tired of it when it was on Star Trek all the time.
No, well, on Star Trek, they would go two by two in the Jeffries tubes. At least they had to go like single file here.
It's a little more realistic, I'll grant you that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Star Trek The Next Generation is 30 years old at this point.
Yes. Happy birthday to Star Trek The Next Generation. So we heard about 9/11 in this episode. We find out that Crazy Dog was in Iraq. I feel like that this was sort of an aside that didn't really go anywhere, right?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things they're just kind of building backstory. It's like, give something to the people that maintain the Walking Dead wiki.
I'm not really sure why we got that sort of banter in between Ophelia and Crazy Dog. Felt like we lost a lot of time in between them having a conversation. But Crazy Dog was hyperventilating, probably used up a lot of oxygen as well with his hyperventilating.
Yeah. Can I just point out, like, we also had a moment where Alicia did a lot of hyperventilating. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking, OK, you probably could save way more oxygen if you, A, don't hyperventilate. And B, don't spend the entire 2 hours talking.
You're right.
So maybe
we picked the wrong people to put down, is what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. So they ultimately end up getting to the ventilation shaft, and they find that there is a walker who is stuck in the fan that they have to pull through. And then ultimately, they're able to, by way of a gunshot, they end up pulling that guy through, which ends up restarting the oxygen supply.
I thought this was going to be way grosser than it was.
No, we got off easy that time.
Yeah, it was just like he looked like a normal guy, like maybe right. A little pale.
Not nearly as bad as a couple of weeks ago when we saw Madison and Strand trying to get through the sewer tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't have any sewer walkers. Like, I figured this guy's caught in the fan. Like, he's going to be in several pieces.
Right, right. And the fan just goes right back to working right after they get that walker through. So maybe he was like one of the recent people that got killed. And he was a very firm walker, has not been in the sun for too long.
Yeah, but you would think like the fan blade smashing up against him repeatedly, he'd at least have like a giant gaping wound or something. We had none of that.
Yeah, so maybe they were tight on the effects budget on this episode. To me, this felt like a bottle episode of 24 to me, where it, like, I kind of felt like that these events, maybe not exactly real time, but I felt like that this was probably as close to a real time episode as Fear the Walking Dead is going to get.
Yeah, I think so. They said they had 2 hours. We saw 1 hour of that 2 hours, and it felt like 3 hours, so...
So we also got to see a little bit of the bros, Nick and Troy, trying to fix this mess. Again, Nick remarkably calm after that everything went to hell in a handbasket because of Troy.
Yeah, people just don't get upset about things on this show.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, are you going to help me clean up this mess you made or what? Like, this, I mean, that's how if, like, Nicole, like, dropped, like, a half gallon of milk on the floor, I think I'd probably be, like, have an angrier tone. Like, come on! Like, can you be more careful from now on with a half gallon of milk? Nick's like, come on, Troy.
You got all these people killed.
Yeah. Look what you did.
You destroyed an entire ranch.
You really did it now, Troy.
Can you be more careful with the whole ranch next time?
With trying to kill everybody we know? Yeah, we got to do something about this. And
Could you maybe not do that?
Yeah. They ended up having like a fantastic time, like going into the chopper. I mean, Troy was just like cracking himself up, laughing in the chopper when the walkers were trying to get them. Nick looked like he was having a good time, too. Like, Nick did not seem to be annoyed whatsoever about anything going on in this episode.
You know, we're going to get an entire episode that's just the two of them on the road together having adventures. You know this is going to happen, right?
Yeah, that's what it looked like coming up in next week's episode. I mean, Nick is never annoyed about anything that's going on.
He really, like, nothing ever gets to Nick. And I think that's probably his strength as a character on the show. Like, if we were playing Survivor, I think we would say that Nick has a lot of social game.
I guess so.
He is the person that everybody flocks to. Like, he is the reason that anybody is friends with anybody else on this show.
Yeah, he's at the hub of everything. Like, just like Jeremiah Otto would confide in Nick when he he's an easy person to talk to, I guess.
Yeah, he just kind of, he's a uniter. He brings people together.
Yeah. Now, Jess, once we saw Nick and Troy Otto get to the helicopter, could you talk me through their plan?
Well, I'm not sure why they went to the helicopter. I mean, they must have known it wasn't going to work.
Now, this is the Walker helicopter. This is not the helicopter that ended up crashing that killed Travis Manawa.
Yeah, the helicopter that crashed, I thought that Walker's people took that and said, hey, we're going to use it for parts to fix our helicopter.
Okay, so this was the Walker helicopter.
I think so. I think there were two helicopters. I know there was like a lot of talk about Walker had all these great mechanics who were going to fix this helicopter.
Okay.
And then he'd have a helicopter.
And the Walker helicopter is close to the ranch now?
I guess everything's kind of fungible with regard to distance.
Okay. All right. So they got in the helicopter. They were able to like turn on the blades of the helicopter and take out a bunch of walkers. But what was their exact plan to save the ranch?
Well, initially, it looked like they were going to take that rocket launcher they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to blow some stuff up, and it was going to make a big boom and a big light. And as we know, walkers enjoy the big boom and the big light. And they did it, but it didn't happen. Like, they fired off the rocket launcher and nothing blew up.
Okay.
And so then they went to the helicopter.
Yeah.
And then apparently Madison and Strand made the big boom with the big light.
Yeah. So what exactly got blown up from the, they're talking about the fuel. What was it? Because we sort of saw Madison and Strand come in as the cavalry at the end of the episode. But I didn't understand what it was that they blew up.
I thought that Troy and Nick were saying something about how there was a bunch of fuel reserves that they could shoot with the rocket launcher and make it blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shot something and it didn't make the giant explosion they were hoping for. And then Madison said something kind of offhand about, oh, yeah, we made the fuel blow up. I guess you guys got to it first.
Right.
And that's what I think happened. I think whatever Nick and Troy were trying to blow up, Madison successfully blew up.
Yeah. Now, hear me out, Jess, and tell me if I'm talking crazy talk, but it seems as though we are talking about the ranch. Okay, well, we have to leave now. We have, I guess that's it for the ranch. That, I guess, our future lies at the dam. But wasn't the original problem at the ranch that, boy, there's not enough water for all these people? Now, according to my calculations, the current population of the ranch is now 10 people, there doesn't seem to be anything wrong with the store of food in the pantry. I would imagine that the water supply that they have would be adequate for people to live. I mean, is it just that there's too many walkers still around? It's an impossible, dire situation. The walls have fallen. Is that it?
Yeah. They don't have any fences left. They can't keep the walkers out. They could potentially hole up in that bunker for a while until, you know, they run out of supplies and they run out of water. But I think it's not a very good existence, and the dam feels like a better existence.
Yeah. So
although they're going to get to the dam.
Yes.
And the people at the dam are going to say, oh, hey, what about all those guns and ammo you promised us? Because we have this very real threat you convinced us we need to protect ourselves from.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, yeah, about that. We don't actually need the water. So the deal's off. And they're like, yeah, but now we have a threat. You didn't bring us any guns. They're not going to be happy about that.
Yeah. So what ultimately is going to come of all this? Are they just going to go back on the deal?
I think so. I think they're just going to roll up and say, yeah, hey, you remember the first deal where we were just going to live here and not bring you anything?
Right.
We're going to do that deal. Although they also said they're going to make a stop at the, you know, Thunderdome market and they're going to supply up maybe
the
what
bazaar?
They're going to do. Yes, the bazaar. I don't know. That place is so strange.
It's the appropriately named
right
bazaar.
There in the name.
Yeah, I guess we'll see ultimately what happens there. And then we have the Daniel and Ophelia reunion, which is still upcoming. And you have to imagine Daniel's going to say, Ophelia, you are not leaving. You have to stay here with me at the dam.
Yeah, I would assume he's going to say that. And I think at this point, she's just going to be happy to see him. Like, even though he almost burned her alive.
But what is going to happen now? Because now all of the people that were like sort of like the whatever army Madison would have had is gone. They don't seem to have any weapons or anything in which they would be able to mount a resistance to the dam. So other than just joining up with the dam people, I don't understand where, you know, there's going to be some sort of a conflict with the Lola and the dam people.
I think Madison's MO is basically just to move into a place, decide she likes it better than the people that are in charge, and then screw everything up for everybody.
Yeah.
That kind of seems what they do.
She's the worst couch surfer in the world.
Pretty much. I mean, I think what's most likely is they will go to the bazaar and maybe they'll trade the water that they showed up with and they can get some guns and then go make the deal and complete the deal. And then they don't have to explain themselves.
All right. So we'll see ultimately what happens at this next time around for everybody at the dam. Jess, anything else from tonight's Fear the Walking Dead?
I don't think so. I think we've pretty much covered the broad strokes. I will be very interested to see how they resolve all this stuff.
We'll see. Only 2 weeks left. So I think we're going to have a 1 hour episode coming up 1 week from now. And then we are going to have the 2 hour finale coming up in just 2 weeks. And then I believe the regular Walking Dead is back in full effect.
And I think it's kind of unfair for AMC to keep showing us all of these previews for the upcoming season of Walking Dead Prime, because it really makes me less excited about Fear the Walking Dead.
So they should not show Walking Dead Prime commercials during Fear the Walking Dead, because it makes you feel like,
they shouldn't show so many.
Yeah. Well, I think that they might be thinking people watch Fear the Walking Dead to see regular Walking Dead commercials.
I guess so. Kind of like the people that went and saw, I can't remember which movie it was, back in 1999, all the people that went and saw, I think, Meet Joe Black because there was a preview for The Phantom Menace in it.
Yeah. So I feel like that's part of the marketing for Fear the Walking Dead, of like, hey, we've got commercials for the regular Walking Dead.
Or like on Big Brother when they showed a trailer for a trailer.
Yeah. So it's all happening. So we'll see. So anyway, via con Dios, Alicia, I hope nothing but the best for the character and the actress, Alicia Debnam Carey. And let's see where this ultimately ends up going. Let's see if we get some more information on this.
For all of the 4 episodes that she'll be out of commission.
Yeah. So we'll see what's coming up there. All right. So I guess next week we will find out what's going on a Troy and Nick centric episode coming up to set us up for the following week's season finale. Of course, you can subscribe to Post Show Recaps for everything we're doing, including our Game of Thrones rewatch and our brand new Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast feed, all coming up here on Post Show Recaps and at postshowrecaps.com. You could follow Jessica Lease on Twitter. She's at Haymaker Hattie. Just anything you want to tell people to check out?
This is the only thing I've got going on right now, so check this out.
That's right.
Keep on checking this out,
everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate you guys checking this out all the way to the end of the episode. We love to hear your thoughts on postshowrecaps.com. Sometimes people say we're too hard on this show. Other times people are saying, yes, king and queen of Fear the Walking Dead podcasting. Preach. So either way, we love to hear your comments on postshowrecaps.com. Until next time, everybody, take care. Have a good one. Bye.